This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hi, Carm Capriotto, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast Guy. Now, with over 1,000 episodes to listen to, you're in the right place if you're looking to learn and better your business. Head to my website to easily search all archived episodes at remarkableresults.biz. Now, our goal is to constantly make positive contributions to the aftermarket. If you're a business owner, there's no doubt having a business coach helps you make positive strides in your business and yourself. But what do coaches do when they want to continue to improve themselves? CAMP is the answer. CAMP, the Coalition of Automotive Management Professionals. Now, it was created for aftermarket coaches to network with each other. Learn how this organization was created and how their vision will help create a better aftermarket. With me in this episode about CAMP, our founders Bill Haas from Haas Performance Consulting and Bob Greenwood, President and CEO of the Automotive Aftermarket E-Learning Center. Brian Gillis is also with us. He's Chief UNET Results Strategist, and he brings his insights to the show. Hey, shout out to Napa for sponsoring this automotive aftermarket wisdom. You know, it's no secret we're facing a technician shortage. Napa Auto Care is addressing that for sure. Now, the free 2-year apprentice program offers a variety of training to produce a technician with 3 ASE certifications. You know how much I believe in apprenticing. Now, to learn more, members can visit member.napaautocare.com. Please go there and do this. Hey, don't forget to catch us live every Tuesday and Friday afternoon Eastern Time. Now, if you can't, don't worry. You can always watch any live videos on my YouTube channel. Just search for Carm Capriotto. Now, we also repurpose live videos as a podcast, so you've got it both ways. The learn is easy and easily available. Remember, you're in charge of what is remarkable. Hey, the key talking points for this episode reside at remarkableresults.biz/E633. A warm welcome to 3 of my really good friends, and we have a real mission for this podcast episode. We're going to talk about a new coaching group, and maybe you can call it an association, the Coalition of Automotive Management Professionals. So cool on how it started and why it's here. I want to introduce 2 of the founders, Bill Haas from Haas Performance Consulting. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Carm. How are you?
Good, buddy. And Bob Greenwood from the Automotive Aftermarket E-Learning Center.
Hey, Carm.
And also, Brian Gillis is with us, the Chief UNET Results Strategist. I love that title, by the way.
Thanks, Carm, and thanks for having me. It's good to see you guys, Bob, Bill.
Good to see you, Brian.
You're looking good, Brian.
Thank you, sir.
It's a mouthful, your title, but I'm sure it means a lot to your clients. And so here it is, a coaching association. Wow. And I do recall, I was lucky enough to be a fly on the wall when you had your first meeting. And I was so impressed with the direction that you wanted to take this organization, the coaches and the associates that you wanted to bring inside. And I see all kinds of value for the automotive aftermarket. Bob, Bill, I think you guys really brainstormed this and said, hey, let's bring some people together. And I think it was vision a couple of years ago, right?
It was pretty simple. And it was vision. It would have been vision 2 years ago. So we're just really on our 2-year anniversary, which is kind of interesting because now that we've taken CAMP to where we are today, as of March 22nd of this year, we are actually a legal entity. We have incorporated as a 501c3. It's a done deal, you know, and if you think, you know, just going back to that meeting 2 years ago, but it was so simple. And what I mean by that is, Bob and I, of course, have known each other for years, you know, and always had the ability to just sit down and talk about what's going on in the industry and what's going on with clients and, you know, what's going on in your life. And one day in a conversation, like, Bob, you know, I always find it interesting that we are always telling shops that they should spend time with like-minded people, that they need to be part of a peer network, that there's a great value in spending time with people that have similar interests to you, and there's so much that they can learn from one another. And I said, and we're out there telling people to do this, and we don't do it ourselves. And that was really the cusp of, we're going to be at Vision in a month or 2 or 3, whatever it was. I can't remember when we had the initial conversation, to be honest with you. We just reached out to Sherry and said, is there a chance we could have a room while we're at Vision just for a small meeting, you know? And if you wouldn't mind, Sherry, would you give us the names and the contact information for all the trainers that are going to be at your event? Because we'd like to get all of them together. And so we sent out an email and said, hey, we're going to have this just casual get together, you know, informal kind of a thing. And I would guess that probably 90% of all the management trainers that were there actually came to that meeting that evening. And we were in a big boardroom and we sat around this big board table.
I remember that boardroom very clearly.
Yes.
Because Mr. Haas took charge and he said, Bob, you sit there at the head of the table. So now I got to run the meeting as he sits beside me and giggles.
I thought there was a check coming and I thought it would go to the guy at the head of the table.
Hey, do you guys remember who was at the other head of the table?
You were.
Right? I know. And I'm sitting there saying, this feels really weird. It was interesting. Yeah.
Well, you know, and if you think about who was that around that table, it was sort of the who's who, kind of a who's who of coaches, trainers.
It was. And really, Bill, I have to tell you, I'm sitting back watching this, wondering if there were going to be any cat fights, but there weren't. And I think the pure reason of people getting together was almost like, why am I here? Oh, I get it. It was almost one of those I get it moments when everyone realized that I have heard so much about you, but I never met you. You're a really cool guy.
Yeah, you're okay. You're really okay.
Yeah. I've heard stuff, but you're really okay.
For me, certainly, I could not have envisioned at that night sitting in that room around that table. I could not have envisioned that within 2 years, we would have had assembled a group of people so committed to say, this is the real deal. Legitimize this whole thing. Let's create an organization. I think I would have been content if we would have carried on as a very informal get together, get to know one another. But honestly, I think this is a pretty incredible thing that has happened, that we've seen the transformation of this group of people and then be able to reach out to guys like Brian. Now we've got so many other people involved that, you know, Brian can't relate to that meeting that night sitting around that table, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Brian is a really valuable part of what camp is today. And so it gives us the ability to reach out to the Bryans of the world and say, come on, man, this is for you too. This is our deal.
So much of what I've seen in the 2 years in all the monthly meetings and all the committee meetings and the work on the vision and the mission of the organization, there was a lot of sweat equity put into it.
The first meeting, the first really formal meeting of the group was for somebody to say, well, we need a code of ethics. It's like, whoa. And what? In probably 3 months, we had a code of ethics for the organization.
It's amazing how many people in the organization think alike, but we didn't know that until we actually all got together and started exchanging and realized we're all on the same level of thinking. We have a huge code of ethics, like very high standards amongst all of the people in this group. They want to just contribute as much as they can to help the industry and the aftermarket move forward. Mm-hmm. And the amount of time that members have volunteered is just incredible.
I'd be curious from Brian's perspective. Brian, when you first heard about it, when you were first approached, I mean, what was your reaction to who are these crazies?
Well, first of all, I'd heard of all you fabulous coaches, and so I was honored. And it was the Vision 2020 when I got asked to come to the big boardroom and hear about camp, and I just thought it was wonderful. You know, when I was a shop owner, I always wanted to surround myself by other like-minded people so we could compare and share notes. It just made great sense to me. I felt very honored to get an opportunity to be part of it and contribute, to get guys like you, Bill and Bob, you know, your guys' insight and perspective, you know, it's been fantastic. And I think it's great for any, you know, I'm newer as a coach, you know, I'm newer to the arena, but man, welcomed with open arms. I didn't expect that. And that's been exactly what it is. Like you said, Bob, a bunch of like-minded people that are getting together, and how can we help the industry? What can we provide that's going to help this industry go forward? And when we put our heads together, some amazing things happen.
You know, I think that's really become the driving force behind the organization, is everybody that's been involved is really, you know, subscribes to the idea that there are so many shops that need help. Our purpose is to find those shops and make sure they get the help that they need and deserve. And I think that's really, you know, if you break it down into the simplest terms, that's the mission of CAMP. The mission of CAMP is find those shops and make sure they get what they need and deserve.
Mm-hmm. And with all the coaches coming together, what's formed too is the consistency in the message.
Yes.
So, you know, whether Bill's there, one of the other coaches is helping a shop, no matter who's interacting, if he's a coach that has a member of CAMP, they're going to hear this very similar message. It's just the personality may change it up a bit, but it's still the same end result. And I think that's fantastic to have a consistent message out in the industry. And when Bill and I first sat down even to discuss such a thing, that was one of the issues. There was inconsistency in the industry. Yes. It's really getting all the like mindsets together, and they all agree, you know, this is what we should be delivering to a shop that's in trouble. How can we help them?
I actually have the mission here in front of me, and I'd like to read it because I really think it helps sum it all up. The mission is: the Coalition of Automotive Management Professionals exists to encourage and advance industry professionalism. We are business management professionals that create opportunity by advocating best business practices. CAMP is a stepping stone, I believed, for an improved aftermarket.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yes. The more shops that get help, the better our industry is.
Yes.
And let me just tell the audience, I've been on so many committee meetings and so many general meetings, and what is fascinating is to see you guys share your challenges, your struggles, the fact that you've gotten your own coaching at times, because coaches sometimes need to be coached, and there are new methods of training, there are trends going on out there. It was really exciting to see that dialogue happen.
And I think one of the most exciting things for me personally from CAMP is this idea, and I think, Brian, I think you're chairing that conference committee, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So as an organization of CAMP, right, you know, well, we need to have a meeting every year. We need to have a conference. And so all of a sudden, we were kind of headed down the same path that so many organizations are. We'll have a conference. But as an organization, CAMP was smart enough to say, well, wait a minute, we're not going to put on a conference for shops. That's what everybody does. There's a lot of people that do that and fulfill that need. So why would we go and try to enter that arena? And so CAMP said, well, wait a minute. Our conference is going to be different. We are going to be the audience. The CAMP members, coaches, and trainers will be the attendees. We're going to bring people in to speak at a conference that's going to help us become better people, better coaches, better trainers. And that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, looking forward to that as well. I've been interviewing some pretty high level folks, so you know it's going to be, I think, dynamite. And you know, of course, that's coming around the corner, so I'm looking forward to that as well. And you know, we all want to continue to learn and continue to get better. You know, we tell our clients to do the same thing. You know, and so what's good for us as well.
And I think once the industry out there sees that the shops especially see that the coaches are practicing what they preach, we have our own coach within the coaching. We have our own instructors because we need to learn more and be better at what we do. It's a continuous improvement. And we all want to continually improve our own skills to be able to bring a shop forward, to help the industry move forward. But we have to have our own skills in the right frame of mind for the time. And as we tell our own clients, times are changing. You got to stay on top of it. Well, we're in the same situation. Right. Times are changing. We have to stay on top of it as a business coach. How do we do that? Yep. What should we be focusing on?
That's going to be cool.
I think I'm on that committee with you, Brian.
Yeah, you're on all of them just about.
No. I'm on two.
Well, here's the thing. And you know, you've got to give credit where credit is due. And so if you will remember that first night at that big board meeting table in Vision. And we said, well, if we're going to continue to have these meetings and everybody was in agreement, well, we can't just walk away from here and not meet again. We've got to have another meeting. How's that going to happen? And Carm is the guy that has made sure that we have had our monthly meetings. He's the guy that schedules our meetings and sends out the meeting reminders. And I can't thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough for being able to step into that role to say, if I can't do anything else, I'll make sure that these guys at least do what they said they were going to do.
I'm a believer in what you guys do. And, you know, I'm a giver in the industry. And that's, I felt a very small role would be, hey, all right, we'll use my Zoom platform and have a meeting, because I didn't want there to be any positioning, if you will, and being a neutral Switzerland type of person in the industry, I felt it was almost like so I jumped on it, and thank you for that.
And that's been great.
Thank you for that. Thank you very much.
You've just become the nucleus of our organization. Because you are neutral.
And I have to look that word up. That's a big word. That's a really big word.
You know, and the other thing is, you can't do what camp is doing without some financial resources, right? And so when it came down to saying, well, if we're going to create this 501c3, it's going to cost money to do this. And there was not one person that said, oh, that doesn't work for me. Everybody said, how much and where do I send the check? And I mean, man, they just stepped up and before we even had a treasurer per se or had opened a bank account, these checks were rolling in to, and he'll remain nameless, but.
I hear he bought a new house.
I was going to ask about the new car his wife is driving, but I mean, it's just those kinds of things that as a group of people, it's like, wow,
yeah,
how cool is that? We're going to need some money. How much and where do I send a check? And that was it. It's done.
You talk about volunteerism. How about Kim Walker and the website?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
She's done a phenomenal job on that.
Outstanding. Yeah.
Let me just put a plug in for it, automotiveprofessionals.org. Again, in the monthly meetings, it developed and the ideas came and the coaches can put up their training seminars. I put blogs up there, my podcast episodes and our Facebook page that we have. In fact, today I just broadcast a coach's corner, if you will. We call it a camp fireside chat with Cecil Bullard.
And you guys did a fantastic job. That was very well done. A lot of great information was shared.
It was great. Cecil was Cecil. I mean, and he's good at that. And we talked about, do I really need to hire a coach kind of thing? So
people waiting, all the reasons that people will wait to hire a coach, all the things that they're going to do first.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, a humbling story from a new shop owner that made me really proud of what I do here on the podcast. Hey, it's Carm here with news about the new Napa Smart Sign, previously known as the Digital Menu Board. I like to think of it like a silent salesman on a TV near your service desk. It's an easy way for you to increase customer awareness of your current promotions and educate them about needed repairs and service. In other words, having a Napa Smart Sign will supercharge your sales. Napa Auto Care tests have shown 1 out of 5 consumers ask for a repair or service they've seen on the board. And targeted promotions resulted in double-digit increases. One Auto Care shop owner said, I've received amazing feedback. Customers are actually asking for additional services they see on the screen. Now that's what I call getting results. You choose the content for your Napa Smart Sign from a library of auto care services and repair topics. The Smart Sign comes with preloaded content. Just about anything you can think of is available, from alternators and alignment to wiper blades and wheel bearings. There are over 150 topics to choose from. Templates can be customized with your location branding for a professional look. Some of the options include customer reviews from Kukui, DemandForce, or MechanicNet, live news, and even the weather. Whatever content you choose, it's preloaded for you. Just as important, it's easy to change your services, prices, and video content anytime you'd like. Plus, the latest Napa national promotions are downloaded to you automatically. Of course, having a Napa Smart Sign gives your auto care center a professional, state-of-the-art look and feel that tells customers, I'm on top of my game. Now, that builds trust, which means recommendations are accepted more readily and customers spend more. Find out more about what Napa Smart Sign can do for your business. Talk with your servicing Napa store owner to find out more about the Smart Sign and all the other reasons to become part of the Napa Auto Care family, the largest network of independent repair shops in the country. Earlier in the day, today, I interviewed two young men who were affected by Cecil and his smart groups like 3 weeks ago. And so all they could do is talk about their experience. And as guys that had just been in the business 9 months had that impact so fast, and they have like tripled their car count and their ARO just in this small, tiny time frame. So setting up, teeing up the ball, if you will, you know, don't wait 10 years. Do it now.
Let me help you before you mess it all up. Once you spend 10 years messing it up, there's a lot of unraveling to do.
That is really true. I mean, it's a great set of words, unraveling. Fix the person, then fix the business, right?
Yeah, right.
And that's very stressful doing it that way.
What's trending with the industry, the things you're working on with your clients?
This isn't necessarily something that I'm working on with my clients, but I think it is a trend. And I think it's something that not sure it gets the attention it deserves. And the attention it gets probably comes from a different direction. And that's consolidation. There's a lot of ideas out in the industry that in order to be big and successful, you're going to have multiple stores, multiple locations. Okay. That's only going to work for some people. And that's only going to work in some markets. I think one of the things that hasn't gotten the attention it deserves is there's a lot of people still family-owned businesses, single locations that are going to be around for a long, long time. Consolidation's not going to work everywhere or for everybody. And I think there's a lot of noise that gets made about consolidation and multi-store ownership. I wish we would make more noise about helping the single store, independent, family owned, understand what their opportunity is, that they don't have to go away. They don't have to be a victim of consolidation.
Totally agree with that. And getting a life outside of this business is important so that you can come and do business in the proper mindset versus being stressed out and buying yourself a job. You know, I've gone through this with many clients now, and as Bill says, understanding what is available in your current business. As you know, I concentrate a lot on the mathematics of the business, but we prove mathematically when a shop on average is five bays in this country, the average shop's missing between $25,000 and $30,000 net profit per bay per year out of the current business coming through the door. Let's go after that first. Let's change our business. And if we're five bays, maybe we'll be looking in a few years to grow to eight bays or 10 bays. But multiple locations, how do you put yourself in every location? You know, you're the owner, you're the personality. And yes, you can say you can hire a great manager, but they're still not you who brings the whole substance of the business together.
You know, Bob, there are some guys that are born to do this, and they want to grow, and they want to have multiple stores, and for all the right reasons to continue to bring their style of doing business to marketplaces, financial freedom, hiring really good people. I'm not saying growing an empire is at the top of their list. They have a lot of what it takes. You know, I've done enough shows. Second store, oh, what a tougher challenge. And then, you know, I should have never done the third because I didn't have the second one done right. Now people are into five, six, and sevens, and I've done interviews with those people, and they now have the talent and the scale to do that. But I love your points, guys. We can grow single store operations to be behemoth profitable organizations. You don't have to have a number two to make more money. That's the point.
No.
You don't. No, exactly right.
True. It's there. And as Bill says, you have some fabulous family operations that have got to hear the message. Coaches can work with those families beautifully to really help them move forward. I agree with Bill. They're not recognized yet as aggressively as they should be.
Guys, let me ask you a question. Just happened to hit me after 6 years of doing this. Do you guys ever create case studies? change the names to protect the innocent and literally publish them on your website. You know, maybe a 4 or 5 page case study on what it took. I mean, every situation would be just a slightly different. Have the industry read them and say, hey, I can relate to that. Wow, look at that.
I can't say that I have.
I have.
I probably do it on a much smaller scale in terms of using what I would refer to as a case study with a client to say, let me show you what happened. Let me explain to you what happened with this store and how this took place and what the end result was. So I'll use it to illustrate a point, you know, or to help people understand something that they're challenged with, you know, thinking that their change is going to be, you know, new, fresh idea. Nobody's ever thought about this before. And it's like, well, wait a minute, time out. There's no original ideas anymore.
So what you're saying, Brian, as an example, a potential customer calls you and says, hey, I've heard about you. My buddy's doing business with you. I've been on your website. Explain to me how this works. Do you get a lot of that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You get a lot of, do a lot of strategy sessions with shop owners. And so kind of on one of the things you were asking about earlier, what's kind of trending, what I've seen is, like Bob said, putting yourself in a situation where you're not kind of, you didn't buy yourself a job. And that's been a real focal point for some of the clients I've worked with is how can I free myself a little bit? So a lot of focus on hiring, recruiting, you know, finding the right people. And then, of course, you know, getting them trained and ready to go. So
creating the right culture, Brian, right?
Creating that right culture. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, there's another fallacy that I'll point out is sometimes coaching will get sold to a shop as, you know, we're going to help put you in a place where you don't have to go to work anymore. In fact, you'll be sitting on the beach, you know, drinking drinks with little umbrellas in them. But here's the reality. That's really not what most people want. Most people want to be part of what they created, and most people want to enjoy being involved. Most people don't want to just walk away and sit on the beach. So you got to be careful what you're presenting to your clients as the end game, because you might be pretty far off base.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your job to discover that need.
Absolutely.
That's right.
How tough is it to say yes to a new client?
I mean, there's so many variables. I mean, to me, really the first thing is, why did you call me? I want to know what they know about me, or who sent them here, or who. I'll give you the greatest compliment, Carm. This just happened last week where a young guy called me. He's only been in business since September and he wants a coach. And I said, how did you hear about me? Why are you calling me? And he said, because I listened to Remarkable Results Radio and I've heard you on there with Carm.
Same thing here. The same thing happened to me. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, you've created a lot of leads, my friend.
Yep. And what's great about with Carm is it's genuine. It's pure. He just wants to help the automotive industry and help this sector of the world. It's great that it's so pure.
Now, what's really interesting is this same young man said, I decided I was going to go into business. And I reached out to two local shop owners to see if I could talk to them. Would they mentor me? Would they give me some pointers? Would they give me some of the ins and outs? One of the shop owners, after 3 attempts, never returned his phone call. So he actually walked in the door of their store to introduce himself. The other shop owner talked to him and suggested that he not open a store, that he just come to work for them. Now, here's the interesting part. After he could find nobody, you know, after he made these 2 attempts with these local shops that, you know, can I learn from you? Can I talk to you? Remarkable Results became his mentor.
Oh, wow.
Those were his words, not mine.
Okay, I'm touched. I don't know what to say. I just don't. And I know we have an impact. I know we're an influencer out there. But you know what? It would have never happened had you guys a while back said, hey, yeah, I'll come on. I'll take a chance with you.
Well, that was pretty easy to do.
Well, yeah. I get a lot of requests. And you guys all know that. I do not. Listen, here's a link to every coach I've ever interviewed. Enjoy. And then do me a favor. If you pick one, write me back and tell me who's your coach. But, you know, I'm excited for you. But, you know, Bill, to your point about reaching out, I wanted to create an entire, and who knows, I may someday, called Adopt-A-Shop, where we go out as the leadership of our industry, the top 20%. We knock on the door and we say, hey, it's Bob from just down the road, next town over. Let's have coffee. Not only does the networking that happens with training and BDG groups and everything, but we need to have a grassroots efforts ourselves. And it upsets me to hear that a couple of shop owners wouldn't even help.
Oh, it upset me terribly. I'm like, why are we so afraid to help some young person who's interested in making this his livelihood for him and his family, that he's willing to put everything on the line to open a store? And what are they afraid of? What's, you know, I mean, and I bet you I'm speaking for every coach and trainer that I know. Every one of us at some point has spent time with somebody because they needed the help and deserved the help, didn't know where to turn for the help. And we didn't say, where's the check? Where's the credit card? That's not who we are.
You know, in this business, when you do it right, time's on your side. And helping people move forward is far more in your favor than sitting back and trying to just make a buck out of something. They don't get it.
And that's what makes you feel good is, you know, however many people you can help, how many of them you can lift up. I mean, that's better than any paycheck you can get, you know,
by far. And yeah. Brian, you're right. And, you know, Bill said it. I've had calls and emails and done Zoom meetings from people who have listened to Carm's podcast. And he said, I listened to you. I heard you. I just wonder if I could inquire about this. I said, sure. Yeah. And I spent an hour on a Zoom with him. You know, and geez, next thing you know, 3 days later, another question came up. Spent another hour with the individual, and they're very grateful. They were very thankful. No, I didn't send them a bill. They're actually trying to move forward, and they're making the effort themselves. People like that need to be supported, and they'll recognize when it's time to get the coach on board. They'll start to recognize, say, geez, you know, how could we get involved more frequently? Fine, we have a process for that. But when people are trying to do something positive for themselves, we all will be there to support them where we can.
Yeah. And certainly our hope is that one day they take their turn and they pay it forward, that there's somebody that they're going to help, that they're going to inspire.
There are so many shop owners out there that are paying it forward. They'll be the first one to tell you, it wasn't always like this. I was a zero, and I'm on my way to be a hero, but I'm not there yet. But I think I'm qualified enough to tell you my story of evolution and change, and those days that I finally had the V8 moment, and I fixed this and I changed that, and then I finally listened to my coach, even though I had him for 2 years and I didn't listen to him enough. And I think those are the stories that us in the industry are relating to, that it, all of a sudden you aren't Mr. Perfect, you were flawed, and you came up this way, and now it behooves me to listen to you.
Well, and the only reason that I believe any of us can do what we do as well as we do it is because we've already made the mistakes.
We've learned from our own mistakes, for sure.
Right. We're not perfect. We're far from perfect. And guess what? I keep making mistakes. And if you don't believe me, ask my wife.
All of us, too. We've had our own coaches. You know,
sure.
I had a coach for decades. And he guided me well and kept me focused. And I know Bill's been through his. And a lot of the other coaches have been through their own coaches. And then we start also coaching one another. Like, there's times I'll, you know, send Bill an email, what do you think of this or whatever, and he'll give me his opinion. And same with a couple of the other coaches, and I think that's great. I had a half hour discussion yesterday with one of our coaches, just wanted to discuss a topic, and he said, this is great, Bob. He says, just you and me having a quick discussion, and it just works. Just works.
Guys, thanks for coming on. And as you guys are talking and I'm reminiscing and I'm thinking of the last 6 years, I recall a few years back at Vision, we threw each other, all of us, I think it was Bob and Bill, and it could have been Barry at the time, and maybe Malin, and we kind of got into my little studio at Vision, and we just turned the microphones on, and we just let it happen. Those are almost worth a re-listen to, because not only were they profound in the moment at that time, but we had so much fun. We had fun. A lot of picking on each other's stuff, you know, because
a little bit of that, maybe.
Yeah, and it was almost the start of camp, because you guys knew each other, but you didn't know each other, right?
Yeah, right.
I'll never forget, Bob, it was an ASA event, and it was in Detroit. And I think you were on the stage with Malin, right?
Yes, yes.
And guess what? Malin and Bob didn't know each other, and they're actually doing, you know, Johnny Carson, Jay Leno on the big stage, and they didn't know each other. That's when I first met you, Bob.
Yep, I remember that.
I've told the story. Well, look, thank you for coming here and sharing with the industry why camp exists, what it's there for, and what the industry can expect from it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Bill Haas from Haas Performance Consulting, Bob Greenwood from the Automotive Aftermarket eLearning Center, and Brian Gillis, Chief UNET Results Strategist. Hey, guys, see you at the next meeting.
All right.
Thank you, Carm.
Take care, everybody.
You guys take care.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.